This is a special alert for car owners. If your car has less than 120,000 miles or if your current warranty is about to expire, you now have the ability to get a premium 5-year 100,000-mile extended service plan at deeply discounted rates. Consumers Choice Auto Care has set up a toll-free number so you can cut out the middleman and get a free, no-obligation quote direct. Expensive repairs will cost you nothing. In fact, you pick your own repair shop and we'll pick up the bill. You can relax knowing your coverage includes free 24-hour roadside assistance, free flat tire service, free jump start service, and free towing. Plus, it's backed by a solid A-rated insurance company. Be one of the first 15 callers with your insurance card and mileage and get a 25% discount by mentioning this ad. Call now for your free quote. 800-249-5084. That's 800-249-5084. Don't wait for a breakdown to break your savings account. Call 800-249-5084. That's 800-249-5084.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And welcome back to this hour of Sports Byline USA as we come to you live from Baghdad, Iraq, our second day of 3 days of broadcast. We're right here at the DFAC. And again, if you don't know what the DFAC is, it's the mess hall. As the men and women have come in here and are having dinner, and it's always nice to be in this kind of atmosphere where we have people out in the DFAC listening to the show, people in here at our broadcast location, because we're at the Sport Oasis DFAC at Camp Victory in Baghdad, Iraq. Now, last hour we had Jim Nance with us. When the satellite went down in this part of the world, those things happen, and that's what I love about live radio. So we've got a very good hour. Jeff Fisher was very gracious to say that he could do it this hour as well. And given the fact that they're in training camp and everything, we deeply appreciate that. But the Titans coach, who's in his 17th year, is certainly going to be somebody that we'll want to talk about their team. So we'll talk to Jeff Fisher. Roy Williams will kick things off in just a second. And then a little bit later on, we're also going to be talking some more sports. But again, Roy Williams will be first, and then Jeff Fisher will be coming along, and then Andre Ward will be here, the welterweight champion. This has been an extraordinary day for us, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, going up to Balad. But the one thing, and we were all talking about this after we got back from Balad, I said to Antonio Freeman and Jim Miller, and, you know, we were talking, and I said, did you notice how young these faces are? Because these are kids that are 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, men and women. And, you know, you hear them talk, you hear them say how happy they are and how much they appreciate, you know, that we have come all this distance to see them, when in this essence we came here to just simply say thank you to them. But it was an extraordinary day. And the other thing, the impression that we've come away with is the fact that a lot of people are hearing that there's a drawdown in troops. And indeed, there is a drawdown. But there's 56,000 troops, American troops, meaning servicemen and servicewomen. Not combat, because we're not actively involved with combat here. But what they have done is transition into a nation building. You know, that's their mission right now. And they're very proud of that. What they're trying to do is turn this country back over to the Iraqis and let them run their life. But you have to understand, under Saddam Hussein, they didn't have much of a life there. So we're ready to crack it up. And when we come back, Roy Williams is going to join us and you. And we'll also introduce you to our soldier co-host as we continue on Sports Byline.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. Call 877-499-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-499-MYTV. Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. Call 1-877-499-MYTV. 1-877-499-MYTV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-499-MYTV. 1-877-499-MYTV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-499-MYTV. That's 1-877-499-MYTV.
Do you suffer from arthritis, muscle soreness, muscle cramps, or joint pain and stiffness? If so, Arthritic Max Arthritis Relief can help you. Scientifically advanced Arthritic Max Arthritis Relief combines the new Miracle Cure Celedrin with clinically proven pain relief ingredients to not only reduce arthritis pain, but to eliminate it. Apply it once in the morning and once in the evening for 24-hour relief. Get Arthritic Max Arthritis Relief at arthriticmax.com. Get the relief you need now. Visit arthriticmax.com.
Do you have a debt problem? Well, now you can finally do something about those collection calls. You can only avoid your mail and the phone for so long. That's why you need to call the Debt Solutions Network. We have agents standing by right now to assist you with your debt problems. Credit card debt, collection accounts, medical bills, and repossessions. Call now for relief.
800-814-5031. That's 800-814-5031. Not available in all states.
You know what 2:30 in the afternoon feels like, right? You're sleepy, groggy, dying for a nap. So what do? Run for the coffee? Grab a soda? But how long does that last before you're back for more? Try this instead. Take 1 5-hour energy, then see what the rest of your day feels like. It sure won't feel like 2:30 anymore. Instead of sleepy and groggy, you could be bright and alert without the jitters. 5-hour energy is packed with B vitamins, amino acids, and as much caffeine as a cup of the leading premium coffee. It has zero sugar, zero herbal stimulants, and only 4 calories. The 2-ounce shot takes seconds to drink, and in minutes, you're feeling like your old self again, and that feeling lasts for hours. So replace all those afternoon coffees and sodas with 1 5-hour energy. 5-hour energy. Hours of energy now, no 2:30 feeling later. Individual results may vary. In a clinical trial, 5-hour energy significantly outperformed placebo on continuity of attention and self-related alertness. Neither 5-hour energy nor placebo affected blood sugar or mood. See 5hourenergy.com for more information.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
As I mentioned yesterday in our first broadcast, this is my sixth visit to either Iraq and or Afghanistan, my fourth to Iraq, and I'm proud of that. And it's funny, I've run into soldiers who knew me and met me when my first trip back in 2005, which tells you how many times they've been deployed here. And we've got Lieutenant Daniel Larson of the United States Navy from Janesville, Wisconsin, who's going to co-host and be talking with Roy Williams in a second. But you're a Green Bay Packer fan, I assume.
Yes, sir, I am.
Yeah. Are they going to have a good year, you think?
From what I've seen in the preseason, I expect big things out of the offense. The defense is a little shaky, but I think they'll iron out the kinks with Kevin Green.
Well, we've got Roy Williams joining us now, and I got to tell everybody, when his autobiography came out called Hard Work, A Life On and Off the Court, I said to him, I'm planning to go back to Iraq and or Afghanistan, and Roy, I would be honored if you would join me to talk to the troops. And he said, Ron, I'll be there for you. And indeed he is. Hall of Fame and, of course, the head coach at North Carolina. 2 national championships, 1-05 and 1-09. And, Roy, nice to have you here. And I'm wondering if you will address leadership for just a second, because I've seen an awful lot of it here. What is the key to good leadership, whether it be in the military or on a basketball team?
Well, Ron, thank you very much for having me. But I think you should be talking to those guys over there instead of me. But leadership, what they're doing for our country, what they're doing for the world is something that I admire a great deal. I respect what they're doing. And to me, those are the best leaders. You know, for me, being a leader as a basketball coach is just trying to get guys focused on a common goal and getting them to understand if they make individual sacrifices for our team to do better, that they as individuals will reap those benefits as well. You said we won it in 2005, and we did, and we had 4 guys drafted in the lottery. We won it in 2009. We had 3 guys drafted in the first round and 1 in the second round, and all 4 of those guys played in the NBA, and 2 guys played in Europe. So it's I strongly believe in trying to make sacrifices for the common goal, but there's nobody making as many sacrifices as those guys over there are.
Daniel, go ahead. Talk a little basketball with the coach.
Coach, we all know that you play in the toughest division in college basketball. After last year, Duke proving that they were a superior team, where do you see yourselves this year matching up against Duke?
Well, you know, they'd had a great year last year, and they didn't really lose a lot. You know, they lost John Shire, who really had a great career for them, and 2 big guys, but the big guys had some other guys rotating through, Miles and Mason Plumlee and Ryan Kelly, and they got Kyle Singler decided to stay and not go to the NBA, and Nolan Smith at guard. So they've got a fantastic ball club again this year. We struggled a little bit last year. As I said, we had lost six guys from that team the year before that played professionally last year and got a lot of guys banged up and didn't play well and didn't coach well. So that led us to 20-17. But this year I think we're really a young club. We got three freshmen that I think have an ability to score, and that's something that we really missed last year. I love the guys that play on the defensive end of the floor and draw charges, but that thing that hang from the ceiling or hang from the wall is called a scoreboard, and that's where they add up those points, so you better be able to do that. And I think we are equipped to do a better job on that end. We're very thin up front. We only have three guys in our entire program over 6'7", but I think we'll be better this year. I think our kids are really going to be focused, and yet that challenge of Duke, because I think last year I said in the preseason I thought it was the best Duke team in the 7 years that I'd been back, and I think they proved me correct by winning a national championship, and in some ways they could be even better this year. But we're going to enjoy playing them and have a chance to do it, I can tell you that.
Coach, besides Duke in your division, who do you see proposing the toughest challenge as you guys go forth to try to get the SEC title?
You know, in the ACC, there's so many good teams, but each and every year some teams have a lot more losses than personnel-wise, and I think Wake Forest lost quite a bit. State's got almost everybody back. Virginia Tech only lost one guy. Florida State only lost one guy. So, to me, Florida State, Virginia Tech, North Carolina State, I think, has gotten a lot better, but Florida State and Virginia Tech didn't lose a lot, and I think that always says a great deal for teams coming back. You want to have talent, but what's even better than just talent is having experienced talent. And the ACC is a tough place. I don't care who you play or where you play them. It's a fantastic league. And if you can win this league or be in the top two or three in this league, you're going to be one of the best teams in the country.
Roy, you know as well as I do, with the success that you've had in North Carolina's fine tradition, the expectations are very, very high. And it's usually for most coaches that have had successful programs, what have you done for me lately? How hard is it for a coach at Division I basketball who has had success to have a year in which maybe they don't win the 25 or 30 games or go deep into the playoffs? What is that really like for all of you coaches?
Well, it's difficult, Ron, I tell you. And at North Carolina, there are expectations. I like expectations because that means there's also interest. If you don't have interest, it's really hard to be successful. And you know, I put a lot of expectations on myself. That's the important ones, because most people that have those expectations don't have anything invested, so I try not to be concerned about them. But as a coach, and especially if you've been successful, you're used to that, you want to continue doing that, it's tough when we go through. Our worst record we'd ever had in my 21 previous years as a head coach was 19-12. And so for us to go 20-17 last year wasn't a lot of fun, to say the least. And we had our top eight guys missed 48 games. And just use that as an example. We had been talking about Duke. Their top eight guys missed six games. And so we need to stay healthy and get our guys to play. But it's last year was a tough year. You question everything. You question how you're doing something. You question what you're doing. You question, are you working too long? Are you working too short? You question everything, and it's, I said many times, there's only two bad things about coaching. One of them is if you're in a program where you have to cut kids. Like, I was a high school coach for 5 years, and I hated that part of it, having to cut somebody. And the only other bad thing about coaching is losing. And, you know, the lows are a lot lower than the highs are high, and that's a difficult thing, but we realize that. But last year was a very, very difficult year for us, I can tell you that.
I have a question about recruiting as well, Roy. You have done such a wonderful job over the years, and you have a reputation of not screwing up a kid when they get into the program, which says you do a good job of assessing their talents and the type of person they are as well. But going out and trying to get the blue-chip player, you also probably know that that player is going to be gone after just 1 year or maybe 2 years. How does one build a program on a consistent basis knowing that that possibility exists?
Well, it is really difficult. In fact, the 7 years that we've been back here in North Carolina, we've lost eight guys early as number one draft choices in the NBA draft, and that's it's more than anybody in the country's lost in the last 7 years. And so it is difficult because it's hard to build, it's hard to maintain that consistency, and yet we want to try to recruit the best players. And for me, I try to get a little bit of a mix, Ron. I like to have, you know, recruit a couple of those guys that really are the best players, and then hopefully recruit a couple of guys who are going to be around a little longer and may even be four-year players. Some of those, quote, mid-major, unquote, schools that have made great runs have really had great experience. George Mason several years ago making it to the Final Four. I think they had five seniors that started, and three of them were fifth-year seniors. And for our level, it's hard to do that. But I do try to get a mix in the recruiting process. And as you said also, I love to get good kids, great kids with great character, not ones who are just characters, but ones who have great character. And it's a lot of fun to be around those, and I enjoy practice every day with those kind of youngsters.
Let me ask you a final question, Roy, and that is the fact that you go through the very difficult ACC schedule, and week in and week out you guys are playing teams, you're beating up on each other, and then after the season's over with, you've got the ACC tournament. I'm just wondering, do you guys beat up on each other during the schedule and then they have to go into an ACC tournament? Does it take something out of those ACC teams then when they make it on to the NCAA tournament?
You know, I really believe it does. I've been very fortunate. I've been to the Final Four seven times, at Kansas and at North Carolina. And of those seven times, only once did we actually win our conference tournament, and that was 2008. And then we were terrible the Final Four when we did get there. But we had played really well for four straight games in the NCAA before we got there. So, you know, you can say it takes away something away, and I think it does myself. But yet that year we played great in the tournament and played great for four games and then stunk it up in the semis against Kansas. And yet in 2005 and 2009 we lost both times in the second day of the ACC tournament and then got on a great run and won six straight games to win the national championship. Duke last year, you know, they win the ACC tournament and just kept rolling. So it's I guess you can look at it both ways, but I'm not the biggest fan in the world of conference tournaments, but it's a fact that we have them. So if I'm going to play, I'm going to try to win the daggum thing, and that is the way I feel about it. But it's a long stretch when you're there trying to play for and play at the highest level of your game for three straight days, and then all of a sudden you're in the NCAA tournament. Now you got to play at that high level for six more games to win the championship, and it's hard to maintain that for that long a period.
I've got Bob Delaney, by the way, with me here in Iraq, and he handed me a note when he knew you were coming on. He says, please tell Roy Williams hello for me. We were together in May at Dickie V's gala for the V Cancer Foundation and everything. So he passes on his best as well, and he's been talking to these kids about leadership and all the things that you talked about as well. So he sends his best to you as well, Roy. Thank you very much for joining us.
Well, tell Bob I said hello. That was a great event that Dickie has. I think for the last 5 years we've raised a lot of money for the Jimmy V Foundation and cancer research. But again, Ron, what you guys are doing over there, I admire you. And one of these days I want to make one of those trips myself. But you guys just keep encouraging those young people over there and make sure that they understand how supportive we are back here and how much that Roy Williams particularly appreciates what they're doing. And tell them I think the Tar Heels ought to be their favorite team. If they've got somebody else, pick the Tar Heels as their second favorite team.
Well, Roy, thank you. You said you'd be here for me, and indeed you were. And when I come over sometime, I'll check with you and see if it works with your schedule. Love to have you join me because, as I've mentioned a couple of times, everybody who's ever come with me has said this has been a life-enhancing trip, and I know you'd find it the same way. Thanks, Roy. I'll talk to you before the season starts.
Okay, everybody have a great day. Thank you very much.
Fine coach, Roy Williams, of course, two national championships. You might want to check out that autobiography, one of the best that I've ever read. It's called Hard Work, A Life On and Off the Court. We're coming back on the other side, and our thanks to Lieutenant Daniel Larson of the United States Navy, Janesville, Wisconsin, for co-hosting this segment with us. We're back on the other side as we continue with more of You and Sports Byline.
I'm Dr. Kyle Smith with an energy quiz. Ask yourself, do you have so much going on in life that you wake up more tired and exhausted than before you went to sleep? Do you rely on artificial energy drinks, coffee, or sugar to give you a temporary boost of energy? Do you have trouble focusing on the task at hand or just plain remembering things? If this sounds like you, then what you need is an energy makeover with Focus Up, the delicious pure energy think drink formulated with energy-rich nutrients and natural botanicals. The natural ingredients in Focus Up help you feel energized for hours while improving focus, alertness, memory, and mood. And because Focus Up is a powder that you add to your favorite cold drink, it speeds absorption faster than a pill or capsule, so you feel the difference quickly. Focus Up helps turn your energy up whenever you need it. Here's how to order.
Try Focus Up now by calling 1-800-608-2856. Find out how you can get a box of Focus Up for free, but you must act now. That number is 1-800-608-2856. That's 1-800-608-2856 for Focus Up.
Smart Money is searching for true investment value today, whether in stocks, commodities, bonds, or real estate. But only one asset class is up fourfold over the last decade, precious metals. Best of all, today gold and silver are still undervalued from a long-term inflation and historical basis. But before you jump into the best assets of the 21st century, get educated by the gold experts at Swiss America. For three decades, their motto has simply been, "In serving, we lead." Their prices are fair, resources are great, and service impeccable. Yes, Smart Money is going for gold and going with Swiss America. Lift your gold IQ right now. Call toll-free 800-932-5197. That's 800-932-5197 for their 2010 DVD, CD, and Economic Realities Report. Call 800-932-5197 today.
In these economic times, you've got to be smarter than ever with your money. You want to protect your family's financial future should something happen to you. They deserve to live in the home they love and be around the friends they've grown close to. Term life insurance is an excellent way to keep your family protected, but you need a place to compare multiple carriers so you don't pay too much. That's why eFinancial developed Compare and Share. Their licensed experts compare rates from multiple companies, find the policy that is right for you, and work to save you thousands a year. All it takes is one toll-free call. They do all the work for you. Term life insurance is a smart move. Saving money on your life insurance is even smarter. Call eFinancial today for a free no-obligation quote. 800-217-7897. That's 800-217-7897. They guarantee fast, friendly service. So call for a free no-obligation quote now. 800-217-7897. 800-217-7897.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
And Jeff Fisher joins us on Sports Byline here in Baghdad, Iraq. Jeff, of course, in his 17th year as the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. He is also the longest tenured head coach in the National Football League. And, Jeff, I know I saw a picture of you and the other coaches that came over here last year that you were here to meet the troops. Let's talk a little bit about your experience. I know it was a little bit strange because of what happened with the Steve McNair situation, but being in country, getting a chance to meet the men and the women, what were your impressions of what you saw over here?
Well, first off, it was certainly an honor for us to come over. It was a tremendous experience. It's something that, as a matter of fact, we played Monday night. John Gruden came in and we got together, and that was the first thing we talked about was our experience over there in Baghdad and sharing the experience and sharing the time with the servicemen and women. It was quite a remarkable experience. There was a number of highlights, you know, the travel. But I think on the 4th of July in the morning, we had, naturalization and the citizenship award ceremony, and that was about as moving an experience that one could ever imagine. You talk about a patriotic experience. It was really special. So we had a lot of fun. We traveled around. We enjoyed meeting everybody there, and it was just a tremendous experience. We went back and shared our experience with the league office, and this summer I believe five more coaches came over and did participate in the USO tour.
Let's talk a little football. And our tradition here when we've come over to Iraq or Afghanistan is to let soldiers co-host the hour so that they have a chance to talk to our guests like yourself. And Master Sergeant Michael French from Denton, Texas is with us, and he wants to talk a little football. So go ahead, Michael.
Coach, I should warn you ahead of time, I'm a diehard Cowboys fan, but I'm just tickled to death to be able to talk to you. What do you think about going to an 18-game season?
You know, it's a good question. You know, I think, as a matter of fact, today there's going to be some discussion amongst the owners in a meeting in Atlanta. You know, the purpose for the discussion or the interest of moving that direction is to enhance the season. You know, the preseason games, on one hand, are important to develop players and to get your team ready. But on the other hand, there's a sentiment that, you know, the product, the game itself, is could be enhanced. And so that's the rationale behind it. This is something that, you know, once the owners are in agreement, it's something that I think will be certainly have to be collectively bargained. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I know there's there's a lot of things that will be affected by it if we do. The season will be pushed, a little longer. And then, of course, you have to determine how you handle training camp and how you develop players. But I think the fans would welcome two extra games and make it for a much more exciting finish.
Absolutely. Coach, what motivates you day-to-day to do what you do?
You know, I feel like this is my first year all over again. I was hired years ago to bring a trophy, championship trophy, to my owner, and every day I work at that. And you know, it's a tremendous honor to be part of the National Football League, and you know, to be around the players. And the day-to-day thing is unique in that you get to watch young players develop. You watch them improve daily, weekly, and each year, you know, as they continue on their careers. But that's the motivation. It's the competitive drive in all of us. It's the will to win, and we all realize that it takes hard work. Hard work certainly pays off.
Out of the rookies you have this year, who's actually standing out above the rest?
You know, we've got it's an interesting rookie class. I have a Rhodes Scholar from Florida State. I have a 4.0 graduate from UCLA in math. I have a defensive tackle from Brown University. I've got quite the crew. I felt because of the intelligence level after the draft, I was going to have to change my coaching staff around a little bit. But it's a good group. Our first round pick, Derek Morgan, is not participated in camp yet. He's coming off of a calf injury, and he should be cleared to practice here in the next couple of days. Our next pick, Damian Williams, a wide receiver from UCLA or SC rather, has got into his first game this past weekend, had five catches, and looks like he's going to be able to help us. And then we've got a number of other players that look like they're going to be able to contribute. We've got a linebacker, Ray Curran from Georgia, a couple defensive backs that look like they're going to help us. And then I have a corner from UCLA that acts like he's been around for 3 or 4 years now. He's playing very, very well, and he's competing for a starting job.
Jeff, let me ask you a little bit about the quarterback position today in the National Football League. You have a young, developing quarterback. What is that thin line in which the coach needs to kick him in the butt sometimes and then other times needs to pat him on the back to bolster their confidence? How tenuous is that whole situation with the quarterback, and what must head coaches do today to make sure that they get the productivity out of their quarterback and the best way to do it?
Yeah, I think, Ron, the most important thing is the commitment to the game that the quarterback must make now. You know, we've got quarterbacks in the league that have set the bar very, very high, Peyton and Tom Brady, and, you know, the time that they put in throughout the offseason and the regular season is extraordinary, and I think they set the bar, so, you know, the younger quarterbacks have to do so themselves. They have to, you know, commit to an off-season program, commit to the classroom. They have to take their work home with them in the evening. You know, they have to study. The pressure on today's quarterback is I think, a lot different. You know, we think of pressure as far as the quarterback is concerned is just Sunday, but reality is that most of the pressure is on the quarterback on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, during the preparation week, because he's got to go out and have a good practice. If your quarterback doesn't have a good practice, then your team doesn't have a good practice. And if you don't have a good practice, then, you know, you wonder about what's going to happen on Sunday. So there's a tremendous amount of pressure on them. Handling the pressure early in their career is quite a challenge. And those that survive the first couple of years usually end up being being very productive. And, you know, we're seeing that out of Vince right now. Vince had a very, very solid game Monday night against the Cardinals, and he's had a great camp. And, you know, I can really see his development.
We only have a minute left, so I'll give Sergeant Michael French that last question. Go ahead, Michael.
Coach, it seemed like last game your defense appeared to be blitzing a lot more. Why the change?
Well, you know, there's preseason is to work on different things, and we need to become a better blitzing team. That was an area that we identified last year. You know, we pressure, but we just weren't winning one-on-ones. We weren't collapsing the pocket like we should. So, you know, we just focused on that in the first quarter of the ball game with our starters. Now, that doesn't mean to say that we're going to blitz every down when the season starts, but it certainly is a point of emphasis for us. And, you know, we work on it in the practice field, but you get a much better gauge in the ball game when you're doing it against a different opponent. And so that was our it had nothing to do, you know, it would have happened whomever we played in the second preseason game. It was not a Cardinal thing. It was just part of something, a part of our installation package and part of things that we need to work on in training camp.
Jeff, I want to thank you. You've always been there for me. You've been very, very gracious, and thank you for your flexibility with the satellite going down in this part of the world. But good luck this season. I'll stay in touch, my friend, and I hope you and I have a chance to make one of those trips together back over here in this part of the world.
Well, I'm looking forward to it as well, and I always enjoy visiting with you, and God bless all the troops. And you know, on behalf of our organization, we want to appreciate everything that they do, and we'll make sure that they know that.
Jeff Fisher with us this hour on Sports Byline here in Baghdad, Iraq, and he is the longest tenured head coach in the National Football League. When we come back on the other side, joining us here in Iraq, Andre Ward, the WBA World Super Middleweight Champion, a record of 22-0 with 13 knockouts, and Master Sergeant Michael French will continue to co-host with us as we continue on Sports Byline.
Have you long considered a career in athletics but you're not sure how to break in? From students looking for entry-level positions to seasoned top executives, NextStepAthletics.com is the industry's only all-in-one resource. Become a member for free today and take advantage of all NextStepAthletics.com has to offer. From sports-specific jobs, education, networking, events, message boards, and more, the only way to stay one step ahead in the sports industry is to take the next step with NextStepAthletics.com.
These days, you hear them everywhere. Get out of debt quick promises asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-899-0615. That's 1-800-899-0615.
This is a special alert for car owners. If your car has less than 120,000 miles or if your current warranty is about to expire, you now have the ability to get a premium 5-year 100,000-mile extended service plan at deeply discounted rates. Consumers Choice Auto Care has set up a toll-free number so you can cut out the middleman and get a free, no-obligation quote direct. Expensive repairs will cost you nothing. In fact, you pick your own repair shop and we'll pick up the bill. You can relax knowing your coverage includes free 24-hour roadside assistance, free flat tire service, free jump start service, and free towing. Plus, it's backed by a solid A-rated insurance company. Be one of the first 15 callers with your insurance card and mileage and get a 25% discount by mentioning this ad. Call now for your free quote. 800-249-5084. That's 800-249-5084. Don't wait for a breakdown to break your savings account. Call 800-249-5084. That's 800-249-5084.
Do you have muscle aches and joint pains that won't go away? Do the goo, blue goo. Tendinitis, migraines, neck aches, or strains? Do the goo, blue goo. Blue goo is the only pain relief gel designed to work for you. This unique and affordable formula containing MSN, chondroitin, and glucosamine provides the relief you need to get on with your day. Accept no imposters. Use the professional strength pain relief trusted by the NBA champion Los Angeles Lakers. Do the goo. Blue Goo. Blue Goo is available at DoTheGoo.com and in all Walmart stores.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
And welcome back to Baghdad, Iraq. We are at the DFACT. It is the DFACT is called the Oasis Sport, Sport Oasis, and people, the soldiers are having dinner now. And the one thing that surprised me when I came over here the very first time is how good the soldiers do eat. Now, that wasn't the case in all of the country because it was during the height of the war back in 2005, but I tell you what, the DFACT's put out some pretty good food. Andre Ward joins us now on Sports Byline. Master Sergeant Michael French from Denton, Texas, staying on to co-host. And, of course, Andre, WBA World Superweight Middle Champion, Super Middleweight Champion with a record of 22 wins, no losses, 13 knockouts. He was the only American to win a gold medal in his class in the summer 2004 Olympics in Athens. And no American has won a gold for boxing ever since. Andre, I know that you're into training camp now for a fight that's coming up. Give us a little bit of insight about what that training camp is like for you as a boxer.
Well, first of all, just thank you for having me. It's an honor and a privilege to be on with you guys today. And I'm not quite in training camp just yet. When I'm in right prior to a training camp, it's what we call a pre-camp. It's where I just maintain about 3 days a week, just putting my body through the paces, not doing anything, too strenuous because I want to save, everything I have for the training camp. And I normally go in training camp about 7 weeks. And, it's pretty much day in and day out. It's some kind of cardio in the morning. And I have my gym workout in the afternoon. And 2 to 3 times a week, I do my strength training. So it's a mental grind. It's a physical grind. And, of course, I'm away from my family and my kids and different things. So that takes a toll, too. So needless to say, when it's time to when the fight comes, I'm ready to go to war.
Master Sergeant Michael French is with me, and he wants to talk a little boxing with you, Andre. So go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, Andre, who did you idol or mentor when you were coming up?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Who did you idolize or who was your mentor as you were coming up through the ranks?
If I had to pick one guy, I would probably say Roy Jones Jr. And, I like the way, even as a young fighter coming up in the amateur ranks, I recognized how Roy Jones kind of did his own thing and kind of, he went against the grain, so to speak, from the business side of things. And that really intrigued me and excited me because, most fighters, they don't really have the reins of their career and they're not really able to, kind of pave their own way, so to speak. And not only was he, an astute businessman and willing to take risk outside the ring, but in the ring, he had the same mentality. He did everything wrong right. He kept his hands down. He pulled straight back. All the no-nos in terms of being technically sound in the sport. But he did that, and he got away with it. So I was just intrigued at how Roy, went against the grain and was successful.
What do you think is the difference between being a winner and a champion?
That's a good question, actually. I think, a champion is somebody who's to be respected. But a champion, there's been tons of champions throughout the years in the sport of boxing. And, some guys are only champion for one fight. They win the title, and then the next fight, for whatever reason, they lose the title. And, hey, sometimes it's just like that. But I think a winner is somebody who's very competitive, somebody who always prepares himself physically and mentally, and no matter how he has to get it done, and when I say done, I mean winning, he does it. He finds a way to get it done, and I think that's the key difference.
The other thing, too, Andre, you and I have talked about this on Sports Byline. Being a champion is much more than what you do in the ring, is it not? Isn't it the way you carry yourself in public, the way you represent yourself maybe to young people and as well, and you've always been very sensitive to that and been very successful in representing yourself as a champion that way. Where did the motivation, where did the instincts for doing that come from?
Well, I think number one, it started from my father. He raised me and my brother as a single dad, and he was very tough on us, but he loved us. He gave us a lot of love at the same time, but integrity and just having being morally sound and making right decisions was always a big deal to my dad. You know, he always, you know, stressed the fact that, you know, that, you know, a liar and a cheater is somebody that he would not stand in his house. You know, somebody who did things that were dishonest and different things like that. So that just always stuck with me, and it's still with me today. I mean, my dad passed in 2002, but all the things that he taught me and the foundation that he laid, even in my Christian faith, you know, I'm still living it out today. And I think it's important because, you know, some people, you know, they give me a bad rap online and different things like that because of the way I carry myself. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to have to turn my back to the crowd and walk away from the sport one day. And whoever I built, the individual that I built, the legacy that I left, I'm going to have to live with that for a lifetime. So I want it to be something that's strong. I want to be an individual who, yes, wins titles, hopefully makes it to the Hall of Fame one day, makes a good living, but also somebody that my kids are proud to look at, somebody that I can point, you know, I want to be an individual who, you know, someone can point their kids to me and say, hey, you know, be yourself, but take something from this guy. You know, so that's the encouraging part. And that excites me more than anything else that I can do in the ring. It's just the fact that I'm a good role model.
Promoters, what kind of role do they actually play in, let's say, you know, in a fighter's career? Is it a big one? I mean, because you always see them after a fight in the ring with a fighter, but you never really, like, hear right. that much about them beforehand.
Yeah, I think promoters play a very big part in a fighter's career, especially a young fighter. You know, you see some guys, they get to a certain plateau and they feel like they don't need a promoter, and they, you know, they want to start their own company. Like I just mentioned, Roy Jones Jr., Oscar De La Hoya, and there's been several others, and many of them have been successful. But I think early on, it's key to have someone who knows the game, someone who is honest and has integrity, but someone to help the young fighter get the necessary fights that he needs at the right pace and at the right time, but also to help him navigate his career financially, because, you know, there's a lot on the table. And, I mean, I can honestly say me turning pro in 2004, I know a lot now, a lot more now in 2010 than I did back then. But, you know, I had good people around me to help me just kind of navigate through these contracts and just kind of, you know, see how the business worked as a whole. So I think they're definitely a major part in a fighter's career.
You know, Andre, it used to be that boxing was measured by who was the heavyweight champion, about the heavyweight fights that would come along. But it seems like it's gravitated to other weight divisions. Now, you're the WBA mm-hmm. World Super Middleweight Champion. Do you agree, and why do you think that has happened? I mean, do you think people take a look at the sport of boxing now collectively with all the weight divisions?
I do. I think, and you're absolutely right, based on what you just said. You know, the heavyweight division was the division. And whoever was the heavyweight champion, and in more cases than not, we would always have an American heavyweight champion. That would just speak volumes as a whole for our sport. I mean, you know, there's one thing. It's one thing to be a middleweight champ and a light heavyweight champ, but to be the heavyweight champion of the world, that's a big deal for all Americans. And unfortunately, we have not had an American champion in a very long time. The Klitschko brothers, who are, you know, great talents, they've been ruling the division for you know, many, many years now. And I think that has an effect on the sport as a whole. But I think that, you know, when America is able to rise up and get a heavyweight champion from the U.S., I think that's going to impact the sport as a whole as well, but in a positive sense.
You know, one of the things I've always wanted to ask you, and I think people can hear from you how articulate, how insightful, and how complete you are in explaining things in your sport. And I've always wanted to ask you, Andre, when you take a look at other sports, they always look at the kids or the boxers or the athletes or athletes in various sports at a young age as feeling that they're in their prime. I've always felt that boxers came into a maturity and in their prime at a later age. A, am I correct about mm-hmm. that? And at what point, you know, maybe what time period span do you think that boxers are in their prime as performers?
Well, you know, I think, you know, definitely, to a degree, you're absolutely right. I think this is a grown man sport, you know, and it'll cause you to grow up fast. You're right about that. It's interesting. I think guys come into their prime at different times. You know, I talked to my trainer, who's also my godfather, Virgil Hunter, about this a lot. And, you know, I've given myself a timetable, you know, tentatively of about 30 or 32 as to where I would like to start, you know, looking to get out of the sport. And he, you know, he always jokes with me and says, man, you're just going to be getting seasoned at that time. You're just going to be coming into your prime at 30, 31, and 32 years old. So, you know, I think it's different with each individual, but I think somewhere around there, anywhere from 29 to 31 to 32, depending on your fight style. Now, you have to understand that some fighters are face-first fighters. They're brawlers. They take a lot of punishment from fight to fight. So, you know, their boxing lifespan is going to be a lot shorter than someone who is more elusive and someone who takes less punishment. So, again, it all differs on the opponent. It differs on the individual and what kind of style that they have. But someone who, say, for example, a Bernard Hopkins, this guy is ageless because he started late in the sport, so he didn't have a lot of, you know, the wear and tear from the amateur ranks. But he also learned his craft exceptionally well in terms of defense. So he doesn't take a lot of punishment. So you see Bernard at 43 years old still competing with the best in the world.
Andre, I want to thank you very much. You were there for me when I called to be here with the soldiers over here in Iraq, and I appreciate it, my friend. I hope sometime you'll join me on one of the trips over here to visit the troops. Take care, my friend.
Hey, thanks a lot, and you know, let the troops know that our prayers are with them, and keep doing what they're doing, and we really appreciate it.
Andre Ward, the WBA super middleweight champion, a record of 22-0 with 13 knockouts, and he started boxing back in 1994 and won over 90 matches as an amateur. And it's interesting, Michael, as he was talking and you were listening to him, what image did you have of the professional boxer, and now you listen to somebody like this talk the way he did? Does it kind of blow that whole mystique or that image of a boxer?
Well, I mean, growing up, you always think of, like, Mike Tyson. You know, nice guy. But, you know, he would just – I'm thinking I'm talking to somebody who's got a doctorate. You know, somebody who's a lot of time at college. I mean, just a very, very articulate. It was really great to hear from him.
All right. Do you like boxing?
I do like boxing. I'm more of MMA.
Yeah.
But definitely I like boxing.
You bring up a very good point. Why do you think MMA has exploded in popularity? Why has it superseded almost to some degree, unless there's a personality associated with boxing? Why has it superseded boxing as far as the kind of the fans' interest in the sport?
I think it's much more of an even playing field. I mean, because it's like that guy out of nowhere. I mean, it's like boxing. You know, out of nowhere, you can get that. You can get the punch that comes out of nowhere. Same thing with MMA, but it's a lot more diverse. You know, it's the legs, it's the locking, it's the, you know, the upper body, it's all that. So even the underdog is a huge chance of just, you know, getting a triangle choke or doing something like that, where they come out of nowhere and it's like, you know, there is really no underdog. And they try to make it like one. I get it, but there's just really no underdog in MMA. I mean, they can come from anywhere.
You're from Denton, Texas. You've already stated that you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, so I've got to ask you the perfunctory Dallas Cowboy question. Tony Romo, developing quarterback still, certainly has done well in the regular season, but does he have the capability of taking the Dallas Cowboys the next step? Getting them into the playoffs, one thing, getting them maybe to the Super Bowl, another, but can he win the big game?
After this year, I think he's going to prove that, you know, he not only can he win the big game, he's going to win it in Dallas, you know, so he's going to make some history this year.
And if he doesn't, does that franchise have to start thinking about looking elsewhere for a quarterback that can do the job?
You know, I think Tony Romo is kind of one of the top 10 quarterbacks. But, you know, after this year, if they don't get at least another playoff game underneath their belt and go another round farther, maybe. You know, maybe he doesn't have that, you know, but then again, you know, my personal opinion is maybe it's the coach.
Yeah. Any other team that you like in the NFC? I heard earlier someone say about the Minnesota Vikings, but, you know, I think about it. Jeff Fisher was talking also. I really think that the New Orleans Saints are maybe not getting the respect that they deserve, having, you know, the quarterback that they have and the team that won the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, the New Orleans Saints, it's almost like they're still getting looked over, which is really strange because, I mean, they won and they earned the Super Bowl last year, and you know it's kind of weird. I mean, you know, it's like you still hear about the Favre drama every year, over and over and over. It's just like it gets old, definitely.
Michael, I want to thank you for co-hosting this hour. You did a great job. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me, sir.
Master Sergeant Michael French from Denton, Texas, with us. We'll take a break. Come back. Get ready to wrap it up here on day number two as we come to you live from Baghdad, Iraq.
Energy drinks laden with caffeine and sugar can hook kids on an unhealthy jolt and crash cycle. And some drinks, when taken in megadoses, can cause rapid heartbeat. Clearly, it's time for an alternative. We're giving away a one-month supply of Allo Boost, an all-natural energy supplement that provides all-day energy without the crash. Better, faster, and healthier Allo Boost is so confident that you'll have increased healthier energy that we're giving away an entire month's supply, and all you pay is $14.99 for shipping. Call 888-988-ALLO and receive a free one-month supply of Allo Boost, the better, healthier, and faster energy blast. Call 888-988-ALLOE, and we'll rush you a one-month supply free, all natural, all energy, all the time. So call now for your free one-month supply of Allo Boost Energy. That's 888-988-ALLO, 888-988-ALLOE.
HomeSuiteIncome4.com, the powerful work-at-home opportunity that creates amazing before and after stories.
Before, I was an overworked, stressed-out single mom, working a lot of hours, never time for my daughter, never time to cook. My days off, I spent running errands, you know, grocery shopping, laundry, all that kind of stuff. It was very difficult.
Then Cindy discovered HomeSuiteIncome4.com.
Now I'm home with my daughter. I control my own time. We live an incredible life. I miss nothing in her life. Every recital, every field trip, every single week I volunteer in her class, so I know her classmates well. And we live in a beautiful home. She's got horses, and, you know, it's my dream.
Earn like a CEO from home. Turn your commute time from 2 hours to 20 steps. Log on for free information at HomeSuiteIncome4.com. It could change your life.
It's my dream job.
HomeSuiteIncome4.com. That's HomeSuiteIncome, the number 4.com.
Great shot, Bob. I think you're on.
I just followed your lead.
Hey, by the way, did you break ground on your new building?
No way. I'm holding off until I see what the future holds.
So you're seeing a fortune teller or
something? You know what I mean. Things look a little uncertain.
The only thing certain in business is if you're not growing, you're losing. And we just opened our fifth facility last week. If you're following my lead, you'll call General Steel. Their pre-engineered steel buildings could save you as much as half the cost compared to conventional buildings. And they're up in nearly half the time, and back with a 50-year structural warranty.
Yeah, but steel buildings...
Hey, you've seen my building. Does it look like steel?
No, it looks great.
Ask about rebates that could save you up to $20,000. Look, you can stop paying rent and own a building that suits your business better and probably saves you money by operating more efficiently. In times like these, don't stop spending, just spend wisely.
Call 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
And again, I'd like to thank the soldiers that we visited today by flying up to Balad. It was about a 25-minute ride by helicopter. The 36th Engineer Brigade out of Fort Hood, Texas, the 103rd Expeditionary Sustainment Command up there as well. And again, I'm just blown away by just sitting there and talking and how much they enjoyed having us there. They said, you know, nobody ever comes up and sees us. And General Cone, that's one of the things that he's always said that he wants done, is that we indeed do go up and visit some of those troops. Tomorrow will be our last day, and we've got Joe Morgan, Tim Brown, Spencer Tillman, Pete Carroll, Shane Battier, and General Cone will be joining myself, Bob Delaney, Antonio Freeman, and Jim Miller. Our thanks going out to Lieutenant General Bob Cone and his great staff, also Captain Anissa Johnson and Patrick Thomas, the MWR officer, and Lieutenant Colonel Garcia, along with the staff at the DFAC Sports Oasis and everybody here. And also here in Iraq, my producer and engineer, John Bullock. In San Francisco, our producer, Matt Kolsky. The executive producer of Sports Byline is Darren Peck. And a great job by our engineer, Scott Cuddy. And a special thanks also to Dwayne Yellow at AKA Productions. He puts it all together and makes it happen. And, of course, we're here with the wonderful men and women of our armed forces. I'm Ron Barr. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Sports Byline live from Baghdad.